In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Corinne Duran and Vicenta Miguel Martinez. That's Miguelito, if you didn't understand who that was, and his wife. Today, we also celebrate the feast day of St. Vincent de Paul, and I've been asked to speak to a community of St. Vincent de Paul in Española today for their particular feast day, as well to prepare for their ministry. So I won't say anything about him, but during this sermon, but that will be in the sermon this evening as I speak to them about the one who their organization is named after. But what we're speaking about here within our gospel is continuing what our Lord began moving us through yesterday and the days before, Saturday, Sunday, or Saturday, Monday, and today. Again, we move through this great book of Job, which is this theodicy, which is a beautiful theodicy of what human suffering is, and seeing it from the eyes of both man and the eyes of God. Job is finally brought low today. What do we see from him? We see him a wounding. We see him as he curses. He says, I curse the day that I was born. He says, it would be better for me if I was stillborn, a miscarriage. He says, why did I breathe? I should be like those who finding a treasure, because I am seeking death just as they are seeking a treasure. And what happens to that person when it has been seeking death and finally it arrives? Rejoices over it. Because my burdens, my sorrows are so great. This is this holy Job, this Saint Job, calling out of his suffering. And I can tell you, as a priest, I've seen many, many souls this way. I'm sure Sister Anne, in her time here, has seen many, many, not just merely within her community, but also within those who she's visited here who have longed for death in the same way. The liberation that comes from having an end to this present suffering of this life and an entrance into that suffering, even if it be in purgatory, that it knows the end of the glories of heaven and the reality that one can no longer sin anymore. That great release. But we see another human response as well within the gospel. What does the gospel speak of? It is our Lord, where he's journeying from place to place here in the gospel of Luke, and he is passing on his way through a Samaritan village. They're rejoicing to see this great miracle worker, this great teacher, this great rabbi to come through, and they're busily making preparation. But what's the point of conflict? It's when they realize where his destination is. They realize, you're going to Jerusalem? You're not welcome here anymore. Go. And so what's the human response? When somebody rejects you, when somebody says, oh, you're one of those. Oh, this is your history. Oh, that's what your last name is. Oh, this is what's going on in your life. This is where you come from. You're one of those Catholics. You're one of those persons who defends life. You're one of those persons who .. whatever that is. And so they reject you. And so what's the human response? It's exactly what you see James and John do. They reach for what they have and say, let's use this against them. One, you can praise James and John, right? You can praise these two men. Why? Because they had such confidence in God that if they would just call down fire from heaven, that God would actually do it. That's an immense amount of faith, by the way. How many of you have faith that if you were to call down the same, that God would actually do it and visit it in a marvelous way? That is a good thing, that they had that kind of faith. But what does our Lord do? Rebukes them, saying, not worth your time. We're not here to be offended in the sight of men. I'm here to bring healing and to do these sorts of good works. That's not what we're about. Calm your rage. And let's go on. Remember, it says in the scripture, God's works are not serviced by the vengeance or the rage of man. For vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I will do it. Let God do it. That's why our Lord in another passage speaks about it this way. Remember when they're sent two by two to go out and to cure all illnesses, to be able to destroy the works of the devil, and he commands them to carry in that way as he sends out the 72, and he says, if somebody rejects you, what are you supposed to do? Do you remember? He says, if somebody rejects you, you're supposed to take off your chanclas. Hold them aloft and shake them off in their presence as a testament against them, saying, the dust from our shoes we will not take even from your place. Let this be a judgment on you on the day of judgment when you meet your end, and do not repent because you rejected those who were bringing you the words, the only words that bring life, founded upon Christ. Not to do anything there, but to do this as a sign. Why? Because they should be offended that they're being met, their violence, their rejection of you, and you do nothing for them but to say, we will profit nothing from you. And sadly, you will profit nothing from us. But maybe at this action, you'll see the error of your ways and come back. And come back. So this is the work of our Lord. This is the way that our Lord goes forward. And what does our Lord remind us in this? Is that our life is meant to exist in suffering. We spoke about this yesterday in our Spanish sermon there in Fort Sumner, but we give you it again today. And what our Lord really drives you and I at is to remind us that our Lord was what? It says in the beginning of the gospel, it says, in these days, that's yesterday, no, that's today, when the days for Jesus to be taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. He resolutely determined to do the very thing which God had called him into the world to do. He said, now the time has come. I'm going. And nothing is going to stop me on that way. And so what's the first thing that happens when he makes a resolute decision? People who should be joyous that he's going to bring them life reject him because he's resolutely determined to do what God has set before him. Think about your own life. Those moments where you've just come off a retreat, those moments where you've just done something good, those moments where you just heard a word from God that began to change your life and you said, yes, I've made this resolution. I'm going to go ahead and fulfill it. I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to go ahead and make sure those times for prayers. I'm going to pray the rosary at these specific moments. I'm going to make it a daily mass time and time again. What's the next thing that happens? Somebody comes and rejects us. Somebody comes and puts an obstacle within our way. Somebody comes to smack us down. Now, it may not be that they know what's going on, but there's a spirit, a force that knows what's going on. The world, the flesh, and the devil obviously do. They want to throw you and I off of that. Realize that that's normal. That's the way the spirit works. Not the spirit of God, but the spirit of the evil one that tries to destroy every good resolution that you and I make. So make that firm resolution and do just like our Lord says right there and resolutely determine. And even when that desire wells up within you, which is totally human, to smite those who are trying to stop you there, don't act out of that. Rebuke that thought, just as our Lord rebuked James and John, thinking in human ways, and go on forward. Say, it's not worth my time. Say, I must not be meant to be in this place and to bless in this way. Well, I'm still going to continue on with what I discern in peace, discern rightly, and go forward. And realize that's going to be the whole of your life and mine. It is indeed meant for suffering and founded in suffering. Because the cross, really what it is the firm thing around the whole universe revolves. It's a message that tells us where we can go, that without suffering, your love, my love and yours, remains permanently in a state of anemia. It means that it's weak, that our faith, what it does is it's incomplete. Because love that doesn't carry the cross within itself is constantly bumping into the crosses of other people, the struggles which they have and bring with them. Our faith, our love, if we don't carry the cross within ourselves, it stumbles along the way, it creeps and it crawls. But love that is plugged into the cross has already taken the obstacles that lay in front of you and me in stride. Love without the cross, what it does is it remains your love and my love, but not God's love. God's love always contains the suffering, the cross in the sense of it. Because our Savior's love, the love of Jesus, is a love that suffers and is through that suffering that endured, it is the only way to achieve a true redemption. The heart that is planted with the cross is a heart that goes further, accepting the sufferings simply as they come, and is able to go further than accepting the sufferings of that poverty, of that humility, that obedience always involve. It reaches even to the point where that suffering is desired. When one can suffer and love, one can do much. One can do as much as anybody can do in this world. Love always has to maintain that suffering and to go beyond that suffering if it is to be a love which is after the heart of Christ. Taking these strong messages, when we face any difficulty, will allow you and I to continue to go forward. Not to be thrown off by those things which so easily cast you and I off the course of our rectitude, which is to achieve what God has set before us, to make good on those resolutions, to realize that in the first moment available, Satan, the world, and our own flesh will seek to destroy whatever good work we begin. But don't be thrown off of it. Don't even react as is normal and understandable for humans to do, to strike at that with wicked claw, but rather to accept what it is, just like our Lord did, and journey onward, realizing that God is going to carry me to the end. I don't need to even begin to defend myself, but rather that's God's will, and his will be done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.